Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 60 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
In this episode, I talked to Matt from Matt's Barbecue in Portland, Oregon. Yeah, you're going to love this. It's really interesting. And this is kind of the reason why I'm doing these, is because I want to meet different people who have a different background and are cooking amazing barbecue, not just in Texas, not just in Carolina, it's not just in Kansas City or Memphis, but anywhere in the United States. And his stuff, if you go online and see it, I'll put links below, looks incredible. And I've just heard rave reviews. It's interesting to hear his story. He's from New York, ended up in Australia. He's cooking barbecue there at an American restaurant, a restaurant that had a smoker. From there, he went back to the United States, ended up in Portland. There's a lot of details that I'm leaving out so that you could enjoy it. But he's a cool guy. Talks about how it was tough at the beginning, and now they have a lot of success. They're on Diners, Drive-In, Dives. He talks about that experience. I really think you're going to love it.
If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this.
Well, what's up, Matt? How are you doing?
Doing well.
How's your day? How's your day been? What's a typical day? Or what's today been like?
Well, it's great. It's not raining and it's not freezing out, so people are showing up. In Portland, we're always battling the weather in the wintertime. We're super busy in the summer, but it's always a real guessing game. I'm always watching the forecast and trying to gauge how many people might show up, how much food to cook. But it's beautiful today, and we've been nice and busy, so it's always fun.
That must be a challenge too. You're cooking with an offset smoker, right?
Yeah, we've got a standard offset. We've also got a Lang that we use for busy days. So like Saturdays, we'll use the Lang for ribs, and we'll just load the offset with the briskets and stuff.
Gotcha. So you've gotten used to the weather, so you've gotten used to that, how to deal with that, because that's a whole other beast.
It's our third winter, so you just plan for the worst, and you know, I'm pretty good at the busy. We're still way busier than we were even last year, so busier you get, the easier it is to gauge, because there's less of that percentage variance. But when you're cooking one brisket a day like we used to, and you sell have one customer, that's pretty crappy. But now it's like, they will serve 50 people, and then now when it's the winter time, we serve 30, so we can kind of, or you know, busy days we'll serve 150 in the summertime.
Gotcha.
But it's a lot easier to gauge the more we do it.
What days of the week are you open?
Right now it's Wednesday through Sunday, so we'll cook all day on Tuesday, make the sausages, and then start the week that way. I'm gearing up to go 7 days a week starting February of next year.
Oh wow.
So trying to make a big infrastructure change. I've got, finally, you know, because it started as myself as the only employee, we've been slowly growing over time, and now I've got three guys that have about 6 months to a year experience, so it takes a lot of pressure off me. And now I'm about to bring on someone, like, as we grow, we can attract better staff and more competent people. So it gives me more confidence that I can delegate a little better. And I'm also learning how to delegate, which is a skill in its own right.
That's a huge skill. That's a
After doing everything forever, you know, it's really hard to let that go and learn how to be more of an educator and teach the guys how to do things and make sure they're keeping the super high standards that I like to set, even when I'm not here.
That's
true. It's going really well, and I can take some more time off and focus on different aspects of like running the business, as opposed to just, you know, mopping the floors and doing the dishes and throwing the logs on for 15 hours a day.
No, I can imagine. That's important. Yeah. Those are all important facets to grow your
business.
Yeah, too.
It's been a learning experience, and it's pretty thrilling to go home and take a nap in the afternoon or watch Netflix. Well, I know the barbecue's going to still come out pretty good, because it's been a long transition to that, and it's great.
Is your trailer in a group of other trailers? Is it?
Yeah, I'll pan around here. So it's just two right now, and it's just an empty parking lot. There's a road. We're on a fairly main street.
Okay, cool.
But it's not really, in Portland, you'll get a lot of pods where you might have like 10, 15 carts and stuff. Given the way we operate, which is we take up a lot of space, it was really hard to find a place that would let me get in here. So here, if I want to get another smoker, I have that option, and I have a little bit of room to kind of grow, because we have two big smokers already, and in the summer we're barely.
And where in Portland, where are you? Are you in the eastern portion of?
North Portland, northeast Portland.
Northeast, okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. So what's your history? Because I know that you were in Australia, so I'd like to know kind of how you got to where you are right now.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a non-traditional barbecue story. I was cooking in fine dining, just working as a chef, a cook. Went to culinary school in Manhattan. Just really got into cooking and worked all around and got my resume to a point where I could travel. Mm-hmm. And I was got a visa in New Zealand. I worked down there for a bit at some tourist restaurant on the beach, which was fun. And then I did the same thing in Australia because I wasn't ready to go back home yet.
Yeah.
And took a job at a pub, and it was like the ad was like, must know American food or must appreciate American barbecue. And I was like, oh, sweet. Like,
that's the gem? Is that what the gem, I think?
Yeah, that was the gem. And, you know, as an the only American applying, I was pretty much got the job. You know, I knew, you know, I have obviously better knowledge than an Australian, most your typical Australian.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got there. It was super cool. The owner goes down to Texas every single year. He had a David Close smoker. He got shipped to Melbourne. So I got the job and showed up, and now there's a closed smoker from Texas in the back, and we're cooking briskets for the first time. And yeah, like I've never been to Texas at that point. I did some traveling in Kansas City, Memphis. Like, I've been down to Arthur Bryant's, and definitely got the barbecue bug was already slightly planted in my head. But then once I started cooking it myself and doing a little more research on Texas style barbecue and brisket is that's really where I started to get into it. So yeah, I just kind of had, because it was Australia and there wasn't a lot of expectations really, because, you know, I could really just kind of go for it and start
and learn on the job, right?
Yeah, the barbecue was decent. It was definitely better when I left, but it was what we do now is definitely on a different level. But it got a great place for me to kind of just get my feet wet in the style of cooking. Yeah. You know,
How were those first briskets that you were cooking there? I guess, well, he had been doing it a little bit before, right? Before you came? Or was he cooking barbecue at all?
No, they were doing it before I showed up, yeah. Okay. They were trimming poorly. The meat was pretty good. Australia can get some really great beef, so we were cooking really good meat. But it was, yeah, they were getting undercooked. They were like, they would pull them off the smoker and like finish them in the oven with like stock, because like the chef had a French background, and like
that's
I said,
interesting.
You do the best you can and try to work out a system, because, you know, the biggest challenge with any barbecue place is consistency and making it taste good throughout the
day. Without a doubt,
So yeah, they would do it on the weekends. We would cook, and then we would like reheat. If we had any left over, we would sell them Monday, Tuesday. So that always makes challenges on quality.
Yeah,
but because it was like Australia, we were like smoking a whole, like, the ribeye portion, you know, smoke to blue and then grilling them. So we were able to use that smoker as a more of a creative tool in like a regular kind of pub style cooking. So I right off the bat, we were doing stuff on the smoker that you normally wouldn't see even in the States, really.
That's interesting.
So that was kind of cool. Yeah. So it kind of gives it a different perspective of like how to use a smoker, I guess.
But during those days, were you thinking in the back of my mind, I'd like to come back to the United States and open up a barbecue restaurant of any type or a restaurant? Oh, you were.
Okay. By the time I left Australia, it was like, okay, I need to really do a lot more research. I need to go down to Texas. I need to eat as much as I can. And, you know, I was just following Franklin and like La Barbecue and seeing them cook out of trailers, and was like, dude, I could do this. Yeah. I could buy a trailer. And I knew, I wasn't sure where I wanted to live at that point. I just, after I got back to the States, I knew I didn't want to go back to New York City and deal with like the rat race. And I knew like financially I could never really probably open up there. And like,
it's really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. But I knew, like, I was like, this stuff is good. You know, there's, if anyone could eat this brisket, they're going to like it, even if they're not from Texas. Like, so I was ready to open up a trailer somewhere and make a go of it.
How did you choose Portland?
My wife and I, we got back to New York. We did a big road trip. We lived in our minivan for 3 months.
Well, that's
drove
cool.
around, kind of did like a horseshoe around the country. So started in New York, went down south, came across through Texas. And, you know, I kind of planned the trip to go around all the barbecue spots. You know?
That's
so
smart.
Went to, you know, ate at like 8 places in North Carolina in one day and just made myself sick on whole hog. It's also, my wife's a vegetarian, so I could, as much as I'd want to spend like a week in North Carolina, I had a really concise, you know, I couldn't, it's hard to drag a vegetarian.
No, I understand.
Around for weeks on end. So I had a, you know, there's that balance of making sure we're both doing things we want.
Yes,
and
of
kind
course.
Of experiencing the States in the ways we want to experience it. And yeah, we ended up in Portland. She's in public health social work.
Okay.
And there are plenty of jobs for her in Portland, and we kind of like the, it's a fairly small city. It's almost, uh-huh. you know, it almost has a small town feel that's just a bit more expanded.
For sure.
And there's 600 food carts in Portland. So we kind of got here, it worked for her. I was like, oh, this is a no-brainer. People are used to going to food carts, trailers already. There's like an infrastructure to open up a food
true,
cart
true.
Here.
Yeah, people are familiar, yeah.
Yeah, so it just kind of made sense for us. And I ate around at the barbecue, and I thought all the barbecue in town was kind of shitty. So it kind of, I felt like the bar was pretty low for, you know, work it out, yeah.
That's awesome. And so what, did you open in 2014 or 15? Or was it
15?
I've read some places that said 13, but I thought it was like 14 or 15.
Yeah, that's probably when I was in Portland for about 18 months
okay.
before I opened the bar. Just working at a bar, kind of saving money and stuff, and just kind of getting used to the city initially and figuring out where I wanted to open. I think it was June of 2015.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're like 2.5 years now.
And what was that like that first week, that first day?
No one showed up. It sucked.
Was it terrible?
Yeah. I opened my doors and I'm like, told all my friends, which wasn't too many because I'm still new here, but it was just like, all right, here we go. And no one showed up for the first like 4 hours.
Oh.
And I just sat in a parking lot. And like two guys wandered in, you know, no one knows it's your first day. Like
yeah.
just two random people wandered in and got two pulled pork sandwiches. And I was like, all right, yeah. And then I gave away all the extra food to like my friend who was having a softball game. So after I like kind of closed the doors, just totally defeated, and gave all the brisket and meat to the people at the softball game.
Okay.
But it was brutal and definitely, you know, a hard realization that it's just not going to magically happen.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, fortunately, it's gotten busier since then, but we started really, really small. Like I said, I would make one brisket and not sell it, you know. You know, maybe on a Friday, we would sell one brisket if we were lucky. I stopped doing pulled pork because no one was, so it was just like one brisket, five sausages, and one rack of ribs. And be like, I would be fortunate to sell out.
Wow.
Yeah, and now we're doing...
Yeah, like what you say during the summer, you're doing what, eight brisket or...?
We're up to maybe 12, 15,
12, 15,
which is pretty good for Portland. You know, I mean, in Texas, you might sell 60, but we're doing about that. We're doing about 20. We could fit 21 racks on the Lang, so we'll get 21 racks on there. Pulled pork, we kind of just squeeze them wherever they fit, so we could do maybe 5 months
yeah.
or something. And then the sausages we cook in the morning when the smoker's empty, so we can kind of just cook as many as we think we need.
Are you making your own sausage?
Yeah, we make the sausages here, so it's all brisket and rib trimmings.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
You have two types of sausage, right?
Yeah, regular and jalapeno cheddar. So it's the same mix, and then we'll just split the batch and cut some cheddar cheese and diced jalapenos in there. But they're pretty good. People really like the jalapeno cheddar. It's, you know, we just do it right. You know, it's not, you know, I read a couple books. You follow the techniques, keep the meat cold, use appropriate seasoning ratios, make sure, and we cook it so it's nice and snappy, you know. Like, we're not really rewriting the book or anything. We're just trying to like do a really good version of what you would get in Texas.
But you're kind of rewriting the book a little bit for Pacific Northwest. I love
it. Yeah, like it doesn't suck, right?
Yeah. No.
So doing different, I guess. But I, you know, new barbecue places are opening all the time here now.
Yeah, it seems like more. Yeah.
Kind of good, and I think that's happening all over the country too. You know, like more people are knowing about barbecue. People are eating here and saying, "Oh, I could do that."
Yeah,
just
yeah.
like I, just the same idea that I had. So it's kind of, you could see like I could see the barbecue getting better and better as time goes on, even in Portland and basically the whole country.
Yeah, and that's really. I think that's awesome. That's what.
Yeah.
That's kind of what needs to happen, and I think that people like a lot of the reason why I'm doing this too is to show people that most of the people that open barbecue restaurants don't necessarily come from, you came from a food background, but they don't all come from food backgrounds. They
sure.
come from IT, anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So but also too, it's a lot of hard work to open a restaurant.
Yeah. It's a real challenge. You know, we opened for very cheap, so it was like, that was good. And
yeah.
it was small enough where I could do it myself. But I think any food service establishment is a lot of effort, and it's just been a constant learning process. And again, learning that business aspect of it. And, you know, making good food's great, but also, like, making money is super important, too. Yeah. And that's, like, something I had to learn as well. You know, I think I made, like, $1,000 in the first 6 months. And was like, okay, maybe I should raise my prices a dollar, and maybe I should do different things, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So that was definitely a big learning experience for me, too.
And the social media component for you is pretty big, because...
Yeah.
And you're doing an awesome job, and it's really gorgeous, gorgeous photos.
Yeah, we just, you know, just keep blasting people with pictures of brisket and keeping people involved. I think there's no real secret to social media except for just the repetition of it. You know, just keep doing it, and every time you post a picture, another person follows you, or you might get a new person down, and try to make it engaging, I guess.
And you've had some television coverage as well, right?
Yeah. Did Triple D.
Gonna ask you about that. How was that?
It was fun. It was you know, 3-day TV shoot for 5 minutes of television. It was pretty intense. You kind of learn a lot about the process, you know, a whole different way of working, and meeting Guy was obviously a bit of a trip too, and you know, he's an interesting character even off the screen.
He's definitely a persona, yes.
For sure. He is, you know, you don't turn that off when the camera stops rolling.
I can't imagine. Like,
you just have to be that guy, you know, and he's that guy. We actually shot an episode for Travel Channel 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So we're going to be on a show called Food Paradise, I guess.
Yeah, that's a big show, and I think that runs a lot.
Yeah. So they did like a Street Eats episode, and we're going to be on that one.
How did business change after Triple D, did it?
As doubled almost, yeah. I mean, even the local paper wrote that, because they shot a couple of different establishments when Guy came down, you know, and they wrote, this is where Guy Fieri shot his episodes. And even that next day, anyone who read that on the paper were like, oh, if Guy Fieri ate here, it must be good. They didn't even need to see the episode.
That's too funny.
It was super cool. And, you know, even when the episode aired, people from Georgia were calling me up, asking me questions now. And
really?
Yeah, it was like, it was incredible. Like, the second the episode aired, my phone was just like, boom, like all these.
Isn't that amazing? Like, so, I think that's, I've talked to a number of people, that have been on it, and it's like their business has doubled or more, and the amount of attention that they've gotten, it just shows that there still is, like, the power of TV is still really, really strong.
And yeah, like everyone said to get ready, and, you know, we were ready for it, but it's still, like, just incredible to see. And, you know, everyone who came down gets a really good experience, and they tell all their friends, and it just allowed us to kind of, now there's, like, in the summertime, it's not uncommon for someone to drive an hour from, you know, from Portland or even from, like, Seattle to come visit us. Or
if I lived in Seattle, I'd be down.
Yeah, and if they're in town on vacation, they know they want to go to Matt's on their trip. So it gets people from all over to come visit us, as opposed to just the neighborhood or even just Portland proper.
So that's cool. It broadens your radar, I guess. You're on some more people's radar than killer.
Yeah.
And what so then what else do you serve, and what sides do you serve, and do you make any desserts or have any desserts too?
No desserts. It's 98 square feet, so it's always a big Tetris. Yeah, so it's a big logistical challenge to kind of make it all work, and also we want to get the food out really quickly. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to do anything that's too involved. So we just do the Texas classics, coleslaw, potato salad, pinto beans, and then we just recently added queso mac and cheese.
Oh,
because we got like a new, like, cooler thing that we can keep noodles in. Like, we got a couple equipment changes, which now allowed us to add another side. But like, the mac and cheese recipe has existed for like a year and a half, and just recently have we been able to kind of create a system where we can make mac and cheese to order and still serve people really quickly.
So, nice. That's important. That's huge.
Yeah, so it'll, you know, everyone loves mac and cheese. We'll put that on the menu in January, but now it's just a daily special that we run.
Oh, nice. And so in February, you're looking at doing 7 days a week. Are you looking at staying at that location too for a while, you think? Or?
Yeah, until they kick us out. You know, Portland is always evolving, and condos are getting built up, and, you know, parking lots are getting, sold. So... We have a lease just like anybody else, and, you know, I hope we don't have to move, but I'm also, like, mentally prepared to
That could happen.
Life. Yeah, you know, but fortunately, with our reputation, I think we should be able to find another spot pretty easily.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that people should know about your restaurant or know about you? It's I definitely need to stop by.
All you need to know is you should definitely come eat here if you're in Portland.
Portland, you have to stop by, and that you're open right now Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday, but we'll change. You know, you can always check those hours on social media and stuff.
And I'll put a ton of links down below.
Yeah, we operate till sold out, just like any other barbecue establishment.
What time in the morning again do you open?
Open at 11, and we keep the hours, or technically till 7, and we'll close the window if we, even if we don't sell out. But, you know, like I said, as long as the weather is in our favor, we tend to run out around 6, 7 o'clock, you know. Well, and maybe we'll sell out of ribs and stuff at like 3 or something.
So if they get there about 12 or 1, they should be okay? Like if they're
Come for lunch. We always have a ton of food for you.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Matt. I'm glad we were able to connect.
And
what an awesome story. It's so interesting. New York to us, to New Zealand, Australia.
Happy to share it, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think people will dig it, definitely. And have a great rest of your week and have a nice holiday.
Will do. You too. Thanks,
all right, take care, Matt.